Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We are live from Fanatics Fest, and we are joined by a man who I can introduce as First Ballot Hall of Famer, CC Sabathia. How does that sound? First Ballot Hall of Famer.
Sounds surreal, to be honest. But
congratulations.
I'm getting a ring of it. Thank you.
I'm excited for you. Me and Tracy will be up there with the family. What did you think about it? I mean, Tracy was at the announcement when it happened, so she saw it real time. But what was that emotion like? It had to be unbelievable.
Yeah, it was. Like you said, unbelievable. Just a surreal moment. And then to have my family there. And, you know, if you watch the video, like, I get the call and I'm sitting there and then I'm kind of like, just don't know what to do. And then my daughter grabs me and I kind of snap out of it. But it was fun to be able to have them involved, have the family there, have everybody there. Because you guys have been such a big part of my time here in New York, my career, my family. So it felt right to have everybody there.
Now, you didn't know beforehand?
No. And they tell you, like, from
like
6
in the NFL,
to 7 is a window.
Like, as soon as someone knocks on your door, they got a jacket on, you know.
Yeah, but they tell you, you got a window from 6 to 7, and if they don't call by 7, then you're not in. And nobody, you know, it got to be like 6:40, and I'm like, you know, what's going on? So, like, it's a real, you know, it's a real shock when they do call.
There's a guy, I forget his name, like Thibodeau or Thibs, Mr. Tibbs, who keeps track of all the public votes. So as a baseball fan, as a baseball geek, I was like, oh, CeCe's in. He's a lot. Were you paying attention to the kind of public discourse on you're going to get in or you're...
Anybody that tells you that they don't watch the tracker is lying. I watched and I was clicking every... Those last 3 days, I was refreshing that thing every 2 minutes.
When during your career, if at all, because I'm not, as you could probably say by looking at me, I don't know, I can't play sports, never did, never made the majors. You and Tiki had great careers. Is there a part in your career where you think to yourself, I'm going to be a Hall of Famer, or I have a chance to be a Hall of Famer?
No, there was never a time when myself personally, I would never let myself get or think that way. It was always just about trying to win the next game or what was in front of me. So it was just about putting my head down, grind, and then, you know, when I'm done, I look up and see where I'm at. So, no, I never even thought about that until, you know, I get to the last year of my career. After 18, I was ready. After 17, I was really ready to retire.
Right.
Losing Game 7, ALCS, I'm like, I'm done. And then Harold Reynolds and Jeffrey Hammond call me. And they tell me, you know, you're this many wins away from 250 wins, this many strikeouts away from 3,000 strikeouts. The guys that have those numbers are in the Hall of Fame. And you have to go up and do this for us. And that kind of put the battery in my back to go out one more year and get those numbers.
Now, he meant by us Black Aces. He meant by us
he meant by
Yankees.
Us.
Yeah. Like, who did he mean?
He meant Black Aces.
Yeah.
He meant, you know, you may be the last Black starting pitcher to go in the Hall of Fame. And you have to take on that responsibility.
Is that right?
Think about who could be next.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like,
so, and you know, him, Harold and Jeffrey kind of hammered that point home.
Right.
And made me go out and you know, try to get those numbers again.
Now, as your career went on, and you had to learn how to pitch, right? It wasn't just overpowering guys. I mean, because you were a behemoth when you were a player, and it was intimidating. But at the end of your career, because I remember that's when we met you, it was really learning how to hit the corners and get people out, not just overpower them. How was that transition for you? Because it's a different mindset from when you're a young kid, you just know you're better than everybody.
Yeah, no, it was actually great to be able to transition and learn how to pitch. You know, I had Billy Connors at the time in the organization. I had Mo and I had Andy, the three best people to learn the cutter from. And, you know, to be able to learn that cutter, the backdoor slider, it really extended my career. And as I started getting older and I'm throwing these pitches, I'm like, man, I should have did this in 09. I should have did this in 2008. I would have had easier innings. But, you know, everything happens for a reason, and I'm just blessed and glad that I was able to come to this organization and have those three guys to help, you know, guide the rest of my career.
There is one negative that I have as a baseball geek of you signing with the New York Yankees. We never got to continue to see you slump. You were a tremendous hitter, and for many years as a baseball fan, I hated the fact that pitchers couldn't hit.
Yeah.
And when you signed with the Yankees, I was happy for Yankee fans because you're a great pitcher, but I was like, we're losing watching CeCe back. Were you not kind of sad about that?
Yeah, that's why I wanted to sign with the Dodgers.
And that was before they were paying ridiculous money.
No, I mean, I love to hit. And even those 2 months I was in Milwaukee, just taking pitcher's BP every day was, I mean, and waking up every day knowing you get a swing of bat is why you play baseball. So I loved it. And even having a chance to even pinch hit or pinch run during the game, not pinch run, maybe pinch
right.
hit. But to have your cleats on as a starting pitcher every single day is something that you don't do in the American League, right?
Yeah.
You know you're done those 4 days that you're not starting.
I was going to say, the only reason you're pinch running is there's nobody else on the mound.
It's got to be, like, everybody got to be hurt.
Now, you've become like a New Yorker, like a Northeasterner. You live in Jersey, obviously, like I do, but you've become a New Yorker. And you're a California kid. Mm-hmm. You talk about maybe wanting to sign with the Dodgers. This place embraced you. Was it mostly because of the aura of the Yankees, or what was it about staying here?
I think it was, I mean, yeah, it was, well, when we signed here, me and Amber said wherever we signed in 2000, and it was the winter of 2008, wherever we signed, we want to put down roots. Like our oldest, Karsten, was right. 5 at the time. So he was in kindergarten. So we wanted to a place where we can live, grow our family, and, you know, this is the place. Talking about not wanting to come here, Cashman was like, I'm so convinced that you would love it here. Your family, you can raise your family here, that if you don't like it, you can leave after 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, cool. Like, I can go there for 3 years. We'll figure it out. If not, I can go somewhere else.
Right.
And, you know, best decision I ever made in my life, 16 years later, 17 years later, I'm still here. And I'm a New Yorker. I won't leave. And just being a part of that Yankee family, being a part of this community, being a part of New York is something that's special to me.
Now, he goes by Karsten now?
Not, he goes by Karsten.
Not Little C?
He ain't little at all. I can't call him Little C when he's the same size.
I know. I still look at him. I'm like, Little C, but you're 6'6". Like, I can't call you that.
Is he at the MLB Combine? Was I watching video of him the other day, I think?
Yeah, he was at the Combine. We were there awesome. Earlier this week, and he's a junior at the University of Houston. So he's draft eligible. He's ready to be a pro. He's got a pro body. He's 6'6", you know, 240.
What position does he play?
Plays first base.
Oh, nice.
DH. He could probably play the outfield, play some right field. But he is so polished. He's got the baseball IQ that's off the charts, and I'm just excited for him to get started.
So, as you can see, not an athlete, but every time I play like a charity softball game or play baseball, I'd love to bunt. And I would always joke, if I ever got a chance to face CeCe, I would bunt just to piss him off.
Let me tell you this. Yesterday we were playing, we had a game down in Rickwood. We had a kind of like a celebrity game where we had guys from my generation playing a baseball game down at the oldest baseball park in Alabama. And the third hitter of the game, I started the game, the third hitter of the game was Andrew Jones, and he came up and did like a fake bunt, and the next pitch I threw over his head to the backstop.
Did it really piss you off when people bunted on you? Is that like genuine anger?
No, that was kind of like one of those things where I just had to figure out a way to be pissed off for most of the time. So that was just one of those ways to get me going.
Yeah, but it's part of the game. I mean, we yesterday there was a rain delay in the Yankees game, the Angels game, and they had to come to us in the studio because we didn't know. Emmanuel Barry's talking his ass off. It's just like, all right, we'll take it for a little bit. I actually wasn't there. Evan was there. He wanted to make one point because there were two on.
Nobody out. Chisholm was up.
Chisholm's up. As we get thrown back because the tarp comes off the field, Evan's like, just bunt!
Like, we love bunts.
We've lost bunting in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't want a guy like Jazz bunting.
Only because of the situation. I genuinely don't want him bunting. I just thought two on nobody out.
To me, if I'm on the mound and I got two on and nobody out and you bunt, you just gave me an out. Like, why would you – you giving me out of this jam.
By the way,
why would
safe.
You give me an out?
He
you
was
know
safe,
what I'm saying?
Though, so he bunted for a hit.
Yeah, well, actually worked.
That's better. You know what I mean? But I just always thought, like, if there's a situation where the guy's in trouble, like, why are we giving him an out? Like, let's try to hit a double.
Yeah.
Let's try to, you know, add on to this. So, but as far as me, like, when I was younger, I loved people bunting because I could get off the mound and I was easy. Like, right. I could. That's an easy out. As I got older, my knee started aching, and then when I got ornery.
My, if I'm making like a list of my favorite CC Sabathia moments, there's a lot, and there's one that jumps out at me that I know Yankee fans still love, and it's when you walked off the mound, you stared off after you drilled a ray, and you said, quote, there are kids around, that's for you, bleep. Take me through that moment, what was going through your head, everything about it, because it was so badass.
The only thing that was going through my mind was I needed to protect Austin Romine. You know, I was always super close to my catchers, and, you know, Romy had a couple of concussions coming up through the minor leagues, and, you know, you don't throw a ball at a guy's head.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, to me, it was just me trying to teach them a lesson. If you're going to throw at somebody, this is how you do it. And really, for my teammates, too, it was a young Severino in that clubhouse, and, you know, I knew I was on my way out, and I wanted to try to show these guys this is how you take care of your teammates, and that's all that was about. It was just, you know, some old school that I had learned from, you know, Dave Berber, Chuck Finley, those guys that raised me, and that's just the way you play the game.
You don't see that much anymore, though.
You've seen it in the Dodgers-Padres series
last night. Oh,
yeah,
that
you
was
see
great.
These guys. I love it. You see these guys taking care of you. Got to take care of your guys. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So anytime Derek got hit or Robbie got hit, somebody's going down.
I love that.
But now you get thrown, you get tossed.
Somebody's going down.
But you get tossed out of the game now. It's different. Like the umpire.
The fine's only it's not the NFL. The fine's only $250, $500. It's not. We ain't paying.
Right?
Oh, we ain't paying crazy fines. So
they only
no problem getting tossed.
Bro, you get like a couple of unsportsmanlike conducts in the league. You get $5,000. More percentage you get checked than what you get.
Nothing over $1,000.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That is utterly ridiculous.
Are you? We're talking to CC Sabathia, Hall of Famer. Are you, I know Brian Cashman is, and some Yankees are you bitter about 17 and what the Astros did?
I was for a while. I'm not anymore. And that's why I said after 17, I was completely done. Like that, it wasn't because of what happened. It was because of the way we lost. It kind of crushed me. You know what I mean? I was at the end of my career, you know, Judge, the MVP. Like we went on a crazy run. Girardi gets fired after that.
Yeah.
That was it.
Right.
You know, and then the cheating stuff comes out after, but yeah, I was bitter for a little while. I'm not anymore. It is what it is.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You're hosting a panel up here, right?
I did this morning.
You did this morning?
Yeah.
You were the host.
I was one of the hosts. Me and AJ Andrews. AJ Andrews had to come save me. There's no way I can host a panel with, especially with Derek
How
and A-Rod.
Yeah,
it was fun.
I was going to say, it was Derek and A-Rod. What did you guys talk about?
Just them. you know, really the core four, you know, those guys winning those championships and then kind of adding me and A-Rod in there. You know, we had Spike up there. It was a fun panel. But anytime you get us together,
that was the odd one.
It's fun. You know what I'm saying? I mean, anytime you win a championship with guys, you know, they become brothers and, you know, we have so many different stories, so much stuff to tell, and it's just fun to get with them.
It's interesting, and I don't think this was said at the time. Maybe we speculated, but Brian Cashman said after the fact he needed to add you to this locker room. Besides you being a great pitcher, you could change that locker room. What did you see when you walked into the Yankee locker room, and how did things change in 2009?
When we got there, I think it was really me and AJ, you know. Right. But Cash, you know, he sold the point, you know, in the offseason. He was like, you know, I've been – waiting for you for 2 years. He was like, you know, Johan Santana was a free agent last year, and I passed on him because I want to sign you and put you in our locker room. And, you know, I guess he had heard about me being a good teammate. And that was something that was super important to me. Coming from Cleveland, that was something that they stressed, you know, take care of your guys, be a good teammate. And that's all I ever was and did. And, you know, as soon as I got to New York, you know, me and Chin-Min Wang and Andy and AJ and all the guys, we start going to basketball games together. We're going to dinners together, and the chemistry just clicked right away. And I think that's what Cash wanted.
Does he get too much flack from the fan base, Cash?
I think Cash is great. I mean, obviously he brought me here, so I'll never have a bad word to say about him. But yeah, I mean, every year he goes out and tries to field a team to win a championship. There's never a year where we're coming in fourth place.
Right.
There's always foot on the gas, and you got to give him credit for that.
I'm sure that someone was asked about pitching while you were pitching, an older pitcher, and they're like, back in my day, we did this and this. But I want to ask it to you about today's modern pitcher. They're not you anymore. Guys don't go deeper into games. We're never going to see another guy win 250 games, at least someone who begins their career now. Does that bother you? Do you think we'll ever go back to what it used to be?
I think we'll go back. I think the game, you know, is going back to what it was in the 90s. Speed and power and then pitching matchups. You know, I think that's the way we attract fans back to the game, right? When Skeens and Ohtani are pitching against each other, or, you know, Max Fried and whoever else are matching up, you're tuning in to watch that game. So I definitely think we need to get back to that. I definitely think we're trending back to that. But, yeah, I think there will be guys with 150 wins and 3,000 strikeouts.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Is that the new,
which is crazy.
Yeah. Does that become the new threshold?
What?
For the Hall of Fame.
What, wins?
Yeah.
I think I'm the last guy that'll get judged by wins.
Right. I agree.
I think everything else will be judged by whatever analytics that they come up with to figure out, you know, to measure these guys. But I think I'm the last person that will be judged
by. I remember when you retired, it was 300. People always talking about 300.
Yeah.
And then I remember BT and I, on my previous show, we started looking at it and saying, well, nobody's going to get close to 300.
And even when I got to 200, I was like, there's no way I can win 100 more games.
You were, not your fault, but you were part of the debate, I think, that changed wins, because it was like you and Felix Hernandez.
Right.
You were getting all the wins. Felix had, like, the better ERA.
And he won the Cy Young
won the Cy Young.
And that was the beginning of when it flipped.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I remember I was on the other side. I was like, it's Felix, it ain't CC. And eventually what I soon realized was your ERA was going up a little bit because you'd go deeper into games, you'd pitch with a big lead, and I assumed if you're up 8-1, you're not going to be perfect.
No, I always pitch to the scoreboard.
Exactly.
And maybe that was a flaw of mine, but that was something I keep talking about, Dave Berman, Chuck Finley. These guys are like, why would you exert yourself extra energy?
You're right.
When we have 9 runs?
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I just need to win the game. I didn't care how it looked. I just wanted my team to win.
Right.
And I think the argument was, you know, I'm pitching in New York. I got the better offense, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I'm pitching in New York.
Right.
Let me go pitch in Seattle. You know what I'm saying? It's a little easier to pitch in Seattle than it is actually pitching in New York.
Right. Now, you can solve this debate because you were teammates with both these guys earlier in our show. And if you're listening, you missed it, you can rewind on our Odyssey app. Sean was debating the relationship between A-Rod and Derek.
The debate?
Would you like to explain it?
Let's get Sean's mic up real quick.
I believe that Derek didn't do enough favors publicly to the Yankee fans that wanted to accept A-Rod but were looking to Derek for leadership and kind of the
guidance.
And then that documentary came out a few years ago with Derek in it where he couldn't understand, and he admitted this, why A-Rod would move positions. Where I looked at it, and other Yankee fans looked at it, he wanted to win. Why wouldn't he move positions? And it felt like Derek didn't understand that. And I think it kind of pivoted Yankee fans to go, I'm following my lead from Derek. There was something about A-Rod he didn't
trust. I think he's dead wrong. I think Derek Jeter was a great teammate. He's a great captain.
It's not that he
guy.
Wasn't a great teammate. It's almost like he didn't do enough to tell us it was all right.
Yeah, but what do you want him to do?
It's fan perspective.
That's
it's
a great
reality.
Point, CeCe.
You want him to, like, dude with a sign, come out here, A-Rod's a great guy? Like, what do you want him to do?
First of all, not question why he would move to third base in a documentary. That's for starters.
But I'm talking real time. Forget what happens. You know,
I didn't see him question that. He questioned why he would move. I mean, he moved because he wanted to win.
I know, but Derek didn't acknowledge that. He said, Derek said, I would never be able to do that. And he admitted that. So I just thought it was interesting.
But in real time,
in
that real, did not make him a bad team.
In real time, I don't know. It just always felt like Derek did nothing to stop the public perception that there was an internal rivalry between
the
two.
But that's the question. Was there an internal rivalry between Derek Jeter and A-Rod?
Not that I knew. I mean, you hear about it
sure.
externally, but when I get there, there's...
So there was no feel of that at all in the locker room ever?
No.
Okay.
Not when I'm in there.
See, and you're corrected.
And I've hung out with both of them separately, together, right. all of it. And
CC we were just on
the, we were just on the stage together 5 minutes
that's
ago.
That's a fair point. Look, in the end, we got a championship out of it, so what the heck do I care?
No, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what...
You know, as long as we have you here, CeCe, I have one more question. Bases loaded, Anthony Volpe comes into a game the other night.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Hunter Strickland is fresh out of the bullpen. Here's the big debate me and Evan had. You as a pitcher, you know, I know this is bullpen. Fresh in, would you prefer the batter takes a pitch and you settle in or swing at your first pitch? Bases loaded.
As a pitcher?
Yes.
I don't care if he's... I want him to swing at the first pitch.
That helps me out.
I want him to swing at the first
Anthony
pitch.
Anthony Volpe grounds out, the game ends the other night. Me and Evan debated. I said Volpe should take a pitch, make him think, bases loaded. Evan screamed at me I was dead wrong.
I'm trying to get... If I'm coming out of the bullpen, I'm trying to get guys swinging early.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be aggressive in the strike zone and try to throw something right off the barrel. As a hitter,
yeah.
If I got the bases loaded, I'm looking for the first thing that I can find up and trying to put the barrel on.
But it was a slider. So he said up. So it was a slider.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking as a pitcher is I'm trying to get him in swing mode. And as a hitter, I'm thinking the first thing I see that I can get the barrel on, I need to go after.
You're also comparing CeCe Sabathia, Hall of Famer, to Hunter Strickland.
Well, he's got the mind. CeCe Sabathia just
it's
said
all the same.
He just said it. Evan Roberts and Chris McMonagle were wrong.
And he got him out. He got him out with one pitch.
He did get him out.
CeCe, you're going up at the end of July for the Hall of Fame. I can't wait to go up there and see you. Have you thought about what you're saying? Like, what's the emotions going to be?
I mean, I know it'll be super emotional. I'm a super emotional person, so yeah. I know I'll be emotional. But I want this speech to be about... my mom and her friends and the women that raised me and right. then having, you know, Amber and my daughters. But my mom had an incredible, like, village of women, whether it's from my grandmother, my two aunts, my godmom. You know, I have an aunt that has all of my stats from the time I was 9 until, until I went to high school. Like, she kept a book. So I want to talk about, you know, the people in my community, the women in my community, the village that kind of raised me. To help me get to where I'm at.
Yeah, that's going to be dope. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Congratulations, man. First ballot Hall of Famer. Give it up for CeCe Sabathia. Thank you very much for coming on, CeCe. We appreciate it. We are live from Fanatics Fest.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.